broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and that's just where that's at. Coming up this September, just a few months, I will be on a panel at the NAB in Chicago with Bubba the Love Sponge and Joel Denver and some other great guys. If you're in Chicago and you're able to muscle a credential, or if you're in Chicago and you can't muscle a credential and you just want to hang out, hang around the entrance to the NAB, and as I walk out, you can yell at me and I'll run because, you know.
Yeah, be afraid of that.
Probably I'd be a little bit frightened until you said, no, Phil, you said that, and then I'll turn around and probably have a drink with you. That'll be happening then. And then, this is non-industry news. I'm going to Canada in a week and a half to visit my cousins in Toronto. All right.
Where are you going to stay?
I don't know where I'm going to stay. I don't know how I'm going to fly there. I don't know what kind of car I'm going to rent. I haven't figured out anything. I do know one thing. I'm going El Cheapo Productions, man.
Why, man?
I ain't going to be, I'm not spending all that money on travel. I ain't going to do it anymore, okay? You know, we're leaning it up. We're tightening it up. We're getting this thing down to bare bones. No way, baby. No way. No first class this. Well.
Yeah.
Maybe. All right. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Gay marriage is a step closer to being reality in New York. Doug Danger will be joining us next hour. Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, who is an openly gay journalist and has written extensively on these issues. He'll be joining us next hour on gay marriage in New York. Will it be a reality? We'll find out. Coming up this hour, Bob Green is having a special Olympics promotion at Fraser Foods this very evening. As a matter of fact, they're open late. And we'll be talking about the needs of developmentally challenged children as well. He'll join us in just a moment. 877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-7445. And our affiliate spotlight tonight in Los Angeles, two great affiliates, two great flagship stations, KTLK and KFIAM 640. And in Corpus Christi, Texas, KEYS, one of our great affiliates on the Phil Hendry Show radio network. If you'd like to find out more, all you have to do is go to philhendryshow.com, check affiliates, and you'll find one in your area. And if not, get a backstage pass. Join us every night for our live streaming video cast, which we've got on right now, Phil TV in HD. And during the pre-show, I was showing a little bit of the Canadian Football League on the back screen, on the green screen. So if the CFL calls and starts complaining, tell them they owe me for a whole season.
Well, they'll say that.
Yeah, they owe me for a whole... You guys don't even give me any hard time about that because you owe me a season pass. When I went to your website and I bought me a season pass for all your games, $7. 877-876-PHIL. Robert Green joining us from Buena Park at Fraser Foods, which are the flagship store, speaking of flagships, in the chain. And, Bob, when you started this company, and first of all, thanks for joining us tonight.
Well, thanks for having us on tonight, and thanks for helping us out with this promotion for the Special Olympics. We've got a lot of families here. We are open late tonight as well.
All right. I wanted to ask you, Bob, when you started your company, how long ago was that?
We are coming up on our 30th year, 1981. And I was just a guy. I'd been working for the previous 9 years for Ralph's, and then embarked on my own as a 30-year-old guy. And so far, it's worked out pretty good, Phil.
All right. So, Bob, first of all, we're talking about developmentally disabled kids and the Special Olympics, and you've got this major promotion going on. What got you to thinking about this?
Well, what got me to thinking about it was a very unfortunate incident in my own life, Phil, and I think it happens with a lot of people that they see something happen in their own lives, and the next thing you know, they are involved in that issue. And for me, it was a simple trip down the road. I just purchased a brand-new Hummer, a Humvee vehicle from one of the Chrysler lots up here at the Auto Ball.
Uh-huh.
And I was traveling along Bloomington in Huntington Beach, which is a T intersection. Bloomington, you might say, is the top of that T, and teeing into it is Beach.
Beach Boulevard?
No, this is another Beach Street. And so I was on the top of that T. It was a red light, but as you know, Phil, if you are traveling, and just so your audience is aware, because this is a story that I think has a few twists and turns, and it leads to this great moment tonight where we're having this event. I decided, and I should not have done this, but I decided there was no oncoming traffic, and really, theoretically, no one should have gotten hurt. But I did roll the car very slowly through the intersection on a red. I was in a hurry. I had almost made it completely through the intersection when this Zach Boyd, and I got to know his mom and dad, Kara and Jesse, very, very well, and they are residents of Huntington Beach. This little boy, dressed in a Superman outfit.
How old was he?
I think he's six, five or six.
Uh-huh.
He jumped out into the traffic, hit the front of my very substantial truck, because, again, Phil, we had just purchased a truck, this Humvee, and it's so ironic because I was just taking it really out for the very first time since I'd purchased it. He hit the front of the car. I went into a little bit of a panic, and I gunned it to try to get around the corner. I got about probably a quarter of a mile down the road there, and that was a street called Valencia.
And now, hold on. I want to be very clear here. You were running?
By instinct, like I think anybody's instinct would be, yes, to run.
And well, when you say anybody's, I'm speaking for myself here. You know.
Well, I think if you were honest with yourself, Phil, and your audience was too, you hit a kid, your instinct is going to be, the first instinct, I didn't say that I ran, I mean, I stopped the car.
No, I understand that, and we don't have to belabor the point, you know.
No, I want to get it out in the open. I saw the kid in this little outfit that he was wearing a little Superman costume. He hit the front of my car, he fell backward. At least I thought that's what he did, and I hit the accelerator and went around the corner on Valencia, and I got probably about a good quarter of a mile to a half a mile away, and I just stopped. I said, "This is not."
Oh, Bob, that is so. Thank God you did that, man, because you were going to have.
No, I understand. It would have been very serious, but I did the right thing. I stopped and I went back. I see that this is a little boy who is developmentally disabled. His mother is there, his father is there, and we called the ambulance. And
now, you say he's developmentally disabled how?
I believe it's Down syndrome. He has some other issues, some autistic issues, and he did was transported to the hospital. Apparently, he had on this Superman outfit and was out there on the sidewalk. And when I got to the hospital, I talked to his mother briefly, and she said that they had purchased this Superman outfit for him. And I told her, I gave her my opinion. I thought it was very dangerous to allow a child that has that kind of condition to allow a child like that to think, you know, that he's Superman or that he can. And we got into a little bit of a problem, Phil. And just to sort of shorten all of this up.
Yeah.
I came to understand that family very well. Now, I don't agree with them, but at least I've come to understand what their challenges are. It's a painful thing to have to sue people like that. But I told myself, if I've got to sue them, we'll have a Special Olympics event here. And
now, what you're suing that family that their little boy ran into your car?
I've got to sue them because I'm anticipating a lawsuit from them, and I'm going to countersue them. And the reason why I have to do this is to protect myself. They're going to sue me for rolling through the red light. In my lawsuit, and my attorney tells me, there was no oncoming traffic. Rolling through that red light was not a dangerous thing to do. And so our lawsuit is going to cover that, as well as the very valid question, Phil. Why would you buy a Superman cape or a Superman costume for a child that has autism?
Well, why would you not? I don't understand that line of thinking.
Well, because you're leading that child to believe that he can do all the things that Superman can do. And
what? I don't know that that's the case. I mean, any normal child, when I say normal, a child that's not so affected would not think he can fly.
Well, that's true. But we are dealing with a different situation. And this family, this man and woman, should have known when they purchased this Superman outfit and put it on this child with this, situation.
Right.
That the child would attempt to do something like this, and sure enough, this child did. Trying to fly, whatever the child was trying to do.
Did you ever find out, so the child ran out into traffic?
Yes, right in front of oncoming traffic.
Although you have admitted that you have rolled through a red light.
The two things that I did, I don't think, I rolled through a red light where there was no oncoming traffic. And then you
didn't stop immediately.
That was a totally normal reaction. I'm told by a lot of people they've done the same thing.
Did you know that you'd hit this child?
I was aware of it, yes.
And so you knew you'd hit the kid, Bob, and you accelerated and got a quarter of a mile away.
All right, I don't want to make this all about me, and I don't want to make this all about me taking a lot of heat. I'm saying that we are having a Special Olympics event because I don't want anybody thinking that I enjoy hurting children. I don't, Phil. My God.
No, I know that you've had children of your own, Bob. I understand they're all grown now, but nonetheless, you're suing the family whose child was hurt. What happened to this child?
Well, the child was transported. There was a concussion. There was a jaw fracture. There was a broken bone, I think, on the leg. They made the claim that somehow the truck had rolled over this child's leg. Not a chance.
How do you know that?
Because if a Hummer had rolled over that boy's leg, there wouldn't be a leg there. There would be something resembling, I don't know. It wouldn't look like a leg. What are you asking me?
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here with Robert Greene from Fraser Foods. And tonight you're having this event where people are invited in late. You're keeping the store open late. They're contributing to Special Olympics.
Yeah, we've got a couple of banners up, and I just want to say that the reason why we're doing this is because I've had these very personal experiences with families affected by, autism and
Well, okay.
You were going to say something? You said, well, okay, what does that mean?
It means that you've had one experience.
I've had a very traumatic experience, yes, with a family, with a child that has autism. The child was given a Superman costume. Very dangerous to give to a child with autism because you basically are saying to a man, you're basically putting lead shoes on a man and saying, you can swim in the Olympics. And I think that...
Well, I don't know that, with proper supervision...
Yes, absolutely.
But then we have this situation where you rolled through... All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL.
Phil, the last thing I want to do is turn this night, where we are honoring Special Olympics, into something having to do with indicting me, because I didn't do anything other than drive a car. And
there are a couple of things that happened, Bob. We can talk about them.
That's not why I'm here tonight. I'm here tonight to celebrate the Special Olympics. I gave you the story as to why I'm celebrating the Special Olympics. I'd rather not...
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I understand celebrating the Special Olympics. Mr. Green hit a child, an autistic child, and now he's suing them, the family, because the child was given a Superman cape, and you don't do that with an autistic child. Don't give a child who's autistic a Superman costume because the kid will actually think he can fly. Now, I don't know whether that is anything that he's going to be able to carry into a court of law and sell to a jury. The other more dangerous or the more important aspect of this is, and I know that he's probably not going to be happy with me talking about this right now, is that he took off and got about a quarter of a mile away before he said he slowed down and turned around and went back. He says that's a natural instinct. Not for me. I doubt very seriously if it is for any of you. Or is it? 877-876-PHIL. Is Bob Green to blame in the accident that hurt this poor child, this developmentally challenged child? What do you make of the motives in this Special Olympic promotion? 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
You might as well give a guy lead underwear and tell him to swim the English Channel.
Call
call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. And welcome back. And later on tonight, Doug Danger joins us as we talk about gay marriage in New York. Right now we have Bob Green from Fraser Foods, where they're having a Special Olympics promotion right now. Bob, before we get to some phone calls, what would you say if I said to you, some people might read this promotion as you trying to buy goodwill?
I think you asked the question, Phil. You asked me why, you know, if I'd never said anything, we would be here now talking about the Special Olympics, about a lot of the events that they have coming up, and we'd never be talking about it. And I as I sit here right now, I must say to you, I'm sorry that I did, because you have misunderstood what I've said.
And well, I'm sorry. What did I misunderstand?
First of all, you're saying that that buying goodwill. What exactly do I need to expunge from my record?
Well, suing the family of the little boy that you hit.
The little boy came out of this apartment and was hopping around as if he thought he was Superman, and he ran right into my Hummer.
And you had run through a red light.
Well, if your intent was to discredit me or to discredit Fraser Food...
No, sir, not at all. Not at all. It was just when you told the story of how you got involved with them, obvious questions came up. And you may say that it is a normal thing to do, and perhaps it is. I've never done it. But you said that after you hit the boy, you took off.
No, I know. I didn't say took off. I said I kept going for another quarter of a mile.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking what any normal human being, after you hit someone, all right, what's your first thought? Are there any cops? Did anybody see me? I went around the corner and...
Now, you said that you got rubber?
I got some rubber. Phil, I don't think it's fair for us to just keep digging this. I will just tell you this. I stopped. I turned the car around. I went back.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll take a phone call here. We have Megan on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Megan. You're on with Robert Green from Fraser Foods.
If I hit somebody, I would stop. I would not be worried about the cops. I would be worried about the child I hit. Just because he had a Superman costume on and he's autistic doesn't mean he's still not a person. You have no idea the depth or the scope of his autism, and you should have stopped immediately. And you're trying to console your conscience by holding this food mobile to be able to help the Special Olympics?
Well, it's not a food mobile. I've got a store, ma'am. I've got 23 stores, not a food mobile.
Well, that's wonderful. But you don't run over
very hard.
You stop a quarter mile later. I mean,
well, I think there's some culpability. There's some culpability. I think if you give an autistic child a Superman cape, you've just basically given a gun to that child.
You don't know what the depth of autism is. He could be, he could have very few things wrong with him, or he could have a majority of things. But that doesn't mean he can't wear a Superman cape. Right. And
you ran over
a person. You ran over a living, breathing person, and you took off.
I acted on instinct,
right.
And I took off.
If I ran over somebody, my instinct would be to stop, not to run away like a coward.
Well, ma'am, I haven't called you any names. I haven't called the lady any names,
though. I'm calling you a coward. Thank you, sir.
Well, you would run somebody over and not admit to it. I'm on the air right now. I'm standing up for myself.
All right. I thank you very much, Megan, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. This is the reaction, though. You understand what I'm saying? This is the reaction.
I understand what you're saying. The other thing that I do resent, I'm on your program this evening to do an interview about Special Olympics. And I heard that woman say, you don't take off, and you go, yeah.
Okay.
So what does that mean? You're throwing me under the bus because you need to... I have a...
All right, I tell you what, Bob. No, I don't want to throw you under the bus. I want to hear what you have to say. I've got to take a break. We're at the bottom of the hour break. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Robert Green from Fraser Foods on the line with us. Talking about the Special Olympics promotion, and is he to blame in an accident that he had where he hit a mentally disabled boy saying that it was the family's fault. They gave the little boy a Superman costume, and you should not do that with a child with autism. It's like giving a gun to a kid. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, and we're on Twitter and Facebook and like that.
Big deal.
Phil Hendry.
Big wow.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line is Robert Greene. He's at Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. Across the country, people supporting the Special Olympics, which is an outstanding way to support young people, young athletes, affected with some kind of disability, either mentally or physically. And Bob, first of all, you know, my congratulations for that. I think that there's some people who might question your motives.
No, I've heard that very blatantly on your program this evening, and I'm very offended. And
you're offended even though you say that you, after hitting this child, you took off.
I said took off, Phil. I didn't mean to say that. You had put those words, you know, forgive me, but you put those words into my mouth. When you said took off, that forced me into saying took off. And then,
I don't see how that happened, but...
And then you kept, this woman that kept saying, you ran him over. I know I ran him over. I understand that I ran him over. But the kid is all right. He survived. And, again, no one wants to hear me. He's in a Superman cape, and he's running around in front of this apartment doing the motion. And that's how I knew that he thought he could fly or was trying to fly, because he was doing, if you've ever seen Superman, you'll see he puts his arms out in front of him.
Yeah.
That is exactly what this boy was doing. He was sticking his arms out and going almost in a way as going, wee, you know, or trying to push himself out. And he did that right into the front end of my car. And for me, I did what I could. I had to, then I had to take my own personal safety into account. And that's when I went ahead and I gunned it. But about a quarter of a mile later, Phil, I thought better of it.
And you think that that's a normal thought to have, huh?
Mr. Hendry, I'm not going to debate that anymore with you. Yes, I do. And if you ask your listeners, they'll tell you the same thing.
Well, one of them called in and volunteered. She's never had that thought, sir. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Tina in Bakersfield, California. Hi, Tina. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I'm so appalled. I could barely stand it. You know what I think? I think you ran a red light. You kept going.
I don't care whether you ran a red light.
You kept going. Can I just talk for a minute? You kept going. You didn't stop. As far as I'm concerned, you ought to be in jail for felony hit and run.
I did not run, ma'am. I came back. How can you call that hit and run when I came back? How do you call it hit and run when I came back and I helped the family when I waited for the ambulance with the family?
You drove 1,000 feet.
You said a quarter of a mile.
Don't tell us that you did what any normal person would do. I'm sorry, you did what any abnormal person would do.
Now that's number two, caller number two, who doesn't agree with you there.
Mr. Hendry, I don't have any doubt that your fans are calling in. Your fans are calling in and agreeing with you. I understand that.
No, that's a lady who was... Go ahead, Tina.
Can I make one more point?
Go ahead.
A number of times you referred to the fact that this young child had autism. Did you know that when you hit him?
I knew it afterwards, and that
was
shocking.
Well, then why didn't you stop anyway? Why didn't you stop anyway?
I did a normal human thing. I thought I could just not deal with it.
No business associating yourself with normalcy. Okay.
Ma'am, I... Yeah. Well, I don't know who you... Why do you... For what?
I'm a normal
Again,
person.
I came back. I helped this child. You can laugh. See, you think it's funny. I was there.
I was there when
the ambulance came. No, you were just laughing about a kid that can't. You were laughing about a kid Down syndrome when the Superman came.
No, she was not.
I think you're pulling a big stunt by doing all of this to draw attention to get people in your store.
Special event. Bob, this is the whole problem, that people think that you are trying to get people in the store.
Bill, how else do you become aware of great issues unless you're involved with them? That's how I became aware of Special Olympics, because of the situation with the Boyd family, because of this little boy. I've admitted to the fact that I tried to take off. I admitted to the fact that I ran the red line. I don't have to do that.
And
now this lady wants a boycott on my store because I said this. A kid with autism is given a Superman costume, and that's responsible?
Why is it irresponsible?
And you hit him, and you took off. And you didn't know
he's a human being
when you hit him.
He's a human being. He's a human being, and his mother put him into a cape.
It doesn't matter.
Now, which is worse?
Which is worse? Hitting the boy and taking off, Bob.
You broke the law.
And she put him. And she put a cape on him. She put a cape on him.
You broke the law.
Wait a minute. You hit the child.
And I was there for the police. They took the report.
Were the police aware of the fact that you took off?
That's got nothing to do with it.
All right, so in other words, were the police informed of the fact that you went a quarter of a mile down the road?
I'm on your program tonight promoting Special Olympics, and you have gotten ginned up by this woman and others to indict me unfairly. If it wasn't for me, there wouldn't be anybody doing anything for Special Olympics down in Buena Park tonight. It would be the same shooting gallery that it is on any other night.
Wow, that's a really nice thing to say about your town.
Yeah. You should be in jail.
I heard you already, Tina. Thank you. And you're not a cop, so I'm not sure you know what you're talking about.
But to say that, Bob, all right, thank you very much, Tina, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. To say what's worse, I took off, or, you know, she put a cape on him.
Yeah, I think that's a fair...
First of all, what you did could be construed as illegal in running the red light, in taking off. You hit the child.
My insurance is taking care of it.
All right, so all's well that ends well. But you turn around and say, but I'm going to sue the family because they put an autistic kid with Down syndrome in a Superman cape. What are you saying?
What am I saying? See, what you do is you beg for me to say something offensive. I don't want to...
No, I want to know what you mean. What is the base of you suing this family for...
I'm suing the family because a little boy, bless his heart, was running around out there going, how are the kids doing? You know, he was trying to lift off or...
Any little kid would. Any little five-year-old kid would. Any little six-year-old kid would.
Mr. Henry, I ask you as a reasonable man, when you were 6 years old, did you think you could fly? Yes or no? Yes or no, please.
Bob.
Yes or no, please.
Of course. No, I didn't think I could fly when I was six.
I had no such assurance from the Boyd family as I attempted to roll through that red light.
Well, you know, okay, 877-876-PHIL. Attempting to roll through a red light while you need assurances from the Boyd family. Interesting. Here is Joe in Gainesville, Florida. Joe, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment. He passes a red light, which is illegal. He runs over a kid. Now, if I even hit a cat, God forbid I hit a cat or a dog, I would stop immediately to see if that cat or dog is okay.
You're one of those animal rights people.
This has nothing to do with animal rights. You say you passed a red light, and you said because there was no traffic coming. Do you realize that red lights is not only for oncoming traffic, but for pedestrians crossing?
Well, he wasn't a pedestrian crossing. He was an autistic child trying to fly.
No,
I hate to be a smartass.
Well, you are being a smartass. Go ahead, sir.
What I'm saying, if you would have stopped for that red light and the kid ran out, even though he thought he could fly or not, okay, at least you would have been stopped and you wouldn't hit him. What gave you the right my question is, what gave you the right to say, well, there's no traffic, I'm going to pass a red light? Then why do they have red lights?
It's a very good point. Good point. I was simply trying to say to you and to Mr. Henry in the audience, it was a T intersection. I was on the top of the T. In other words, all the traffic coming up the bottom of that T had to go either left or right. So what I was rolling through was not oncoming so much as I was rolling through a red, whereby the traffic coming oncoming was going to have to turn left. So it wasn't a factor, in other words.
And yeah, but the kid was a factor.
The kid was a factor because...
Well...
And then you take off, like, I mean, okay, I'm not even...
Wait a minute. Wait, what do you mean the kid was a factor?
He was a pedestrian that got into the street.
He wasn't a pedestrian. He was an autistic kid trying to fly.
He's a person.
A sub.
He's a little human being, okay? And even if he had autism and he didn't know what he was doing, let's go on the assumption. A five-year-old probably didn't know what he was doing, okay?
Right.
But if you would have stopped for that red light, the kid wouldn't have got hit. What gave you the right even to think that you could pass that red light because you said you were rolling through the red? What gave you the right to do that?
I went through the red because everybody does. I'll tell you this much. Your name's
everybody
Joe. If you know that street, people do that every day on that street because there's no oncoming traffic. Now what happens to Bob Green? Bob Green, I've had a store in this town for 25 years. What happens to me? Some lady decides to go down to Walmart and get her kid a cape. And the kid she buys the cape for, guess what? He wears a helmet 90% of the time. How do you convince a child that wears a helmet that he's Superman? Now what happens?
You know what? That's got nothing to do with anything, Bob. You hit that kid, fractured his jaw, and then you take off.
I didn't. You said I took off. I rolled around the corner.
You said you got rubber. Did you get rubber?
The wheel spun, yeah.
Okay. That means you accelerated.
Yeah, like in the prize.
Oh, boy. Well, thank you. Get a load of you, Chris Schenkel. All right.
The part.
Maybe they'll hire the two of you guys for the Daytona 500 next year.
You know, Bob, you can be a smartass if you want.
I came on this program to promote Special Olympics, and here comes Joe and you and everybody else calling me a war criminal.
No, excuse me. You're not a war criminal, okay? Joe and everyone, else before me, okay, are human beings and have common sense and adults saying you stop for a red light and God forbid you don't. I mean, even if you don't, say even if you didn't see it and you run someone over, you don't say I'm going to take off and leave. And then, okay, I backed up again.
I took a shot. It's a normal thing to do. I took a shot.
No, it's not
a normal. You took a shot. It's not a normal thing to do.
Mr. Hendry, if you say that one more time, I know you're getting all propped by your fans out here. Everybody, how many times, Joe, be honest with me. How many times have you hit? I'll give you a good example. One night I ran into the back of a guy's car. It was parked. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. There was nobody on the street. I'd been drinking. All right. I came around the corner and I slammed right into the back end of this guy's car. I took off.
I backed up
and took off. I had been drinking. I was very young. But the next day I told the story to some friends of mine and they all said, yeah, we've done that too.
Oh, isn't that great? A bunch of 19, 20-year-old guys.
What?
All you guys, 20 years of age, you drink and you run into cars, and you think that's normal.
Well, you know, I got to make a comment. Apparently, you were brought up without knowing right from wrong.
Right from wrong. Here's what's right. Don't put your kid in a cape if he's having a hard time. You know, chewing his food, or I don't know.
All right. But Joe, thanks very much, Joe. I appreciate it very much. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, the thing that I'm resenting more than anything else, Phil, is that you have these people calling in who are fans of yours, and they're supporting everything you're saying. And, oh, yeah. And another thing, Mr. Hendry, you know.
You're saying some of the most offensive stuff when you say you don't put a kid in a cape if he drools or has a problem eating. You take no responsibility at all for taking off, for rolling through the red light. The child ran into your car, and you even say, well, it's not my fault. He thought he was Superman. He's a five-year-old boy. When you were a little boy, didn't you pretend you were something?
I didn't pretend I was something. I was something, okay? When I was five, if I thought I was... Excuse me.
Gesundheit.
Thank you. When I was five, if I thought that I was God Almighty, there was some reality to that. I don't know how. I have a lot of confidence, Phil.
Hold the line, okay? This falter all. I got to take a break. We'll be back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Robert Green from Fraser Foods on the Special Olympics and a little boy with autism that he hit by mistake, but he's suing the family. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World-famous Phil Henry Show here with Robert Greene. Robert Greene from Fraser Foods this evening. They're having an event for Special Olympics, which I'm sorry, Bob, I appreciate that very much. You know,
Phil, you and your listeners have done your very best to ruin...
No, I don't think we have, Bob. I think we're doing fine here.
Well, is that right? So if I have people coming to my store tonight and they're listening to the radio, I'd like to say, if you would be so good as to give me a second here.
Go ahead.
Anybody coming to the store tonight, I want you to know something. I came back to help that child after it dawned on me what happened. I was stunned. I was stunned. I just kept driving. Now, this cop, I forget his name, this Orange County sheriff, found a little sliver of tape stuck in the grill of my Humvee and used that to make a big deal. I think this guy is trying to get himself promoted over there at Orange County Sheriff.
There was an Orange County sheriff that did what?
He found some tape, some of the fabric of the tape.
Stuck in the grill of your Hummer?
Oh, come on, Phil.
That's what he found?
Yes. And he made a big issue out of it because I think he wants to be a chief of police over there with the Barney Fife Corps. Well, there's one thing I got to tell you something, Phil. If there's one thing I don't like, it's a nosy cop. I mean, I do my best in this world, but cops with their nose stuck everywhere. And
that's the job of a cop. If you had an Orange County sheriff there and he finds a fabric from the child's cape stuck in the grill of your Humvee, you ought to be thankful that little boy survived, man. To be honest with you, here is Tammy in Anchorage, Alaska tonight. Tammy, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Robert Greene.
Hello, thank you.
Yes.
I just want to say, bottom line, had he stopped, whether it was a T or a stop sign or a stoplight, had he stopped, the little boy would not have been hit, and this would not be an issue today. That's first and foremost. Secondly, the fact that cop found a piece of his cape in his grill says that was just good police work. And, it doesn't matter.
That's a nosy cop.
No, I don't think so. That's the cop doing his job. That's what he was supposed to do, sir. Also, I'd like to say that it doesn't matter if the boy was autistic or whatever the case may be, whatever his capacity is. It doesn't matter. If he was crossing the street and it had you stopped, then you would have not hit this little boy. Bottom line, there's no two ways around it. The fact that you left shows that you are... even less human than your...
Hold on a minute. I came back to make sure the kid was okay. And
did you not, when you got back there, say you didn't know who it wasn't you?
You know what, Mr. Henry? There's certain things I said to you in confidence.
Didn't you say, oh, wow, I didn't know who hit him, who did it? And that's when the cop found the cape stuck in your grill?
I'm going to say it again. These nosy cops, with their nose stuck everywhere...
He was doing his job, sir.
Doing his job. You know what?
Also, I'd like to say that the way America is today, if the family is found negligent for not supervising the child, they could be held responsible for this whole incident. They really could be. And that's what I'm hoping for.
That's what you're hoping for. You're hoping to sue this family, hold them responsible for all of this. You rolled through a red, you ran off and tried to get away, and this family. And you're worth a lot of money. How is any of that fair? How is any of it legal? How is any of it right? Especially you lambasting the police.
I didn't know I was here in cop land. Is this a cop-friendly show or something?
Yes, it is.
How dare I what? Ma'am, I'm having the Special Olympics here. I got some kids here. If you come in tonight, she's in Alaska. Never mind.
I mean, is it based off guilt? I mean, why are you doing this now? Is it based off guilt? I mean,
because,
do you feel guilty? Because you should.
I feel bad for the little boy who thought he could fly because he's got Down syndrome, and I think we need to help these kids.
How do you know this kid thought he could fly?
Oh, come on. The kid's got autism. They slapped a Green Lantern costume on him. What do you think? You said it was Superman a minute ago. I beg your pardon? I'm sorry?
All of a sudden, now it's Green Lantern. It was Superman a few minutes ago, right?
The point that I'm trying to make, ma'am, if you have a little boy, and God bless these children, if he has Down syndrome, all right, and these children have the physiognomy, a very large forehead. You give that kid one of these Batman capes, and he thinks the bullets are going to bounce off his head, you know?
No, that's...
Oh, boy, you got some kind of stupid...
you've called me stupid.
You broke the law, and this lady is absolutely right, using that Special Olympics thing, and the kid's head is big, so he thinks bullets will bounce off of it. You think that that's a responsible thing to say?
You think it's responsible to give a child like that an outfit like the, what do you call it, the Goblin? What's the guy? The guy in Spider-Man that I liked was the Goblin. Is that it?
Yeah.
That guy. Give an autistic kid a skateboard and tell him he's the Green Goblin. Yeah, you'll have some Green Goblin, all right. You'll be wiping it off the grill of my car, along with Cape. I'm Bob Green. Tell the lesbians that coming in hell follows behind.
Phil Hendry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, to 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and they won't, so they shan't. Right on. Now, this hour we have Doug Danger. Doug will be talking with us about the efforts in the state of New York, the great state of New York, to legalize gay marriage, and we're going to talk with Doug about that and what he thinks the ups and the downs are. I think you're going to be very interested to hear this conversation. Doug is an openly out gay man and a writer, covers the entertainment beat for the Orange County Courier, so we'll be talking with him shortly. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on this Friday night and every night, and also our website, philhendryshow.com, where you can listen to and watch our streaming video of the show. Right now, we're on live streaming video. Phil TV in HD is what we call it, and we've got cameras all over the ding-dang place. We're at the El Pacifico, so on any given night you may see us broadcasting the show with the Pacific Ocean behind us, or as we are tonight, we're in our sewer studio, literally in a studio with the sewer right behind us. Where we broadcast from, as some of you might know, is a former mental institution. This was a place where maniacs were locked up. We took it over. We turned the basement into a torture chamber for radio executives. And we've also turned the sewer into a studio, and we also have lit the outside, which is very nondescript. You don't really know you're walking into a radio studio. There's a rail track where they used to dump all the patients off on the siding and then take off again, and we've just turned that into a general delivery area. Most of the time, though, we are opening up the studio here to the ocean that is directly behind us. So it's a very fun experience. Join us at Phil TV in HD at philhendryshow.com. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Here is the story as we get ready to bring Doug Danger up on the line. In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo said on Friday that he expected same-sex marriage legislation to be approved before the end of the legislative session next week. Approved before the end of the legislative session next week. That, according to Governor Cuomo. And he indicated that to win passage of the measure, he's prepared to yield to Republican concerns for greater protections of religious groups. I'm a proponent of marriage equality, and I'm working very hard to make that a reality in New York, Mr. Cuomo said to reporters today. As lawmakers prepare to go home for the weekend, I'm also a proponent of religious freedom and the separation of church and state. So these are both very important principles. I don't see one in competition with the other. Is there a deal being cut with lawmakers in New York? Conservative lawmakers asking for, okay, if you want gay marriage, then we want protections for heterosexual or straight marriage. What exactly will that entail? Doug Danger with us from Santa Ana, California tonight, where the Orange County Courier is located. Doug, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good, Phil. This is pretty momentous news that we've received here this evening, and we'll see how far it goes.
Now, do you read this the same way that I read this? Are you reading that this is going to be a quid pro quo?
Well, I think that it's
most likely will be. But let me give you the long shot on this. I'm going to give you the up and the down on this. I'm a gay man, as you pointed out, Phil. I'm a gay journalist. And as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I'm telling you, this might come as a shock to you, but I'm opposed. I'm opposed to gay marriage at this time.
And now, why are you, as you are gay?
I'm a gay man in a gay marriage, but I'm opposed to gay marriage, and here's why. Gay people most likely will be more successful statistically than straight people at being married. Here's the reason why I say that. Gay people who have been forced into the back alleys for centuries have been forced into mental hospitals. You just say you do your show from a mental hospital. Well, a lot of gay people were forced into mental hospitals for centuries. Gay people have been forced into jail cells for centuries. So they know the back alleys, they know the hardship, and because they've been through so much, they're going to embrace marriage much more tightly and respect marriage much more than straight people.
Now, you know that what you've just said there is very explosive.
I guess you didn't hear me. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? I've got my eyes wide open. As a gay man and as a gay journalist, I have a vision, I have a view, I have the ability to cut through and to see the truth. And I'm telling you the truth. Homosexuals, if you want to call them that, gay people, are going to be more successful at marriage than straight people. Okay, that's only part of the equation. The reason why I'm opposed to gay marriage is because when straight people see, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, when straight people see how successful gay people are at marriage, then it's on. And yet,
now, what do you mean by it's on?
You're going to see some very unhappy straight people. I think they're going to twist the statistics. I think they're going to do what a lot of political groups do. They'll take the numbers like the Congressional Budget Office, you know how they mess around with it? They'll mess around. They'll say, no, it doesn't say that when it does. They'll say it does say that when it doesn't. I think they'll try to harm gay people in other areas. I think they'll try to blue pencil them for bank loans. I think they'll discriminate against them in other areas. I think it'll make, in other words, and I'm going to use this word very seriously, a civil war between, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Okay, Phil? Phil, you there?
Yes, I'm here, Doug. Yes, I know that.
Well, I need for you to get that. I'm gay.
I get it, yeah.
All right. So you're hearing what I'm saying. This is a civil war between gay people and straight people if they legalize gay marriage, because the straight people won't sit still for gays being better at marriage than them.
So, all right, so what you've got here is a very tortured kind of a logic.
Excuse me? Nothing tortured about it, Phil. This is reality. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I love you, Phil, and you're a great guy, and you've had me on your program so many times, but let's talk about what's happening in society and all of the important things that are happening in society. When you look at all of the things that are going on in society right now, I'm a gay man, I'm a gay journalist, that counts for something. You're nothing. You are something. You're a man, but you're really, really, you're nothing.
I'm nothing. I don't understand what that means. I'm nothing.
In terms of political significance, you're nothing. You're a white man. You're straight. Boy, and so here's why I'm saying this.
All right, but Doug, I've talked to you enough in the past to know that what you're saying is there's a special significance to your sexual orientation and your position as a journalist, and I will give you that. I believe that the people's life experience counts for so much if they know how to use it. Now, you're saying that as a gay man and a gay journalist, you have some special, I don't know what you would call it, but a special eye at the truth.
No, my experience as a journalist, coupled with being a gay man and a gay journalist, yeah, I can look right through it.
And you're saying that with that acumen, with that discriminatory acumen that you have, you see a civil war between straight people and gay people.
I see, yes. Not in the literal sense of when we think of civil war. I think there's going to be a backlash against gay people by straight people when they see that gay people are better at being married than straight people. And I don't know, you can well imagine a gay couple settling down in a house and being happy, and next door they're hearing fighting, they're hearing screaming and yelling, and perhaps some spousal abuse going on. For next door they see a guy beating up a woman. How do you think those straight people feel when they go to bed at night and they don't hear a peep coming out of that gay house? That's going to make them even angrier. And as a gay man and as a gay...
That's what I mean about tortured, right there.
What?
That what you just said. You just said the guy spends the day or whatever.
It's not his hobby. I'm saying that as a straight... He's a straight man, a straight couple, and he's beating her up. And it happens, and it's unfortunate. My father treated my mother like that. I didn't like it at all. I was a kid. I hated seeing that. But it happened. So he's beating this woman up. Now when they go to bed at night after he's beaten her half to death, and they're laying in bed, and they don't hear any sounds of domestic violence coming from that gay house, that will make him even angrier.
Because why is he getting angry? First of all, what do you mean beating her half to death?
If they've had... You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I'd understand what you're saying. You're talking about violence, spousal abuse, the horror that exists there. So this guy's got problems, Mr. Straight.
You got that right.
All right. He's beaten up his wife. Now he's getting even more pissed, you're saying, because he doesn't hear the gay guys going at it?
Because I'm saying that's just a part of the puzzle, Phil. I'm saying that's a piece of the social reality. Now, you put enough of those situations together, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I've been writing about this for the last probably 6-7 weeks. You put enough of those situations together, and what have you got? I'll tell you what you got. You have a gay, straight civil war, or what we've called, Dr. Bellinger called it gay collision, when he wrote that paper in 2008 that got everybody going crazy.
And I haven't heard of this. It's called what?
Gay collision.
Gay collision.
So I'm opposed to gay marriage on that basis. I will not see fellow gays being successful at marriage and then having it taken away from them by straight people who are embarrassed that they're doing better than they are.
And you think that's going to happen?
I know it's going to happen. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been around straight people for my whole life.
You know? All right, 877-876-PHIL, Doug Danger. 877-876-7445. Doug Danger with us here on the Phil Hendry Show, talking about the whole gay marriage argument. You know, will it be? Will it not be? Well, I personally think it will be. I think socially, I think the country is heading in that direction. But Doug is saying that it would be a bad thing because straight people would see how much better at marriage gay people are, and they would resent it. I think is what he's trying to say: resent it, and perhaps act out. Act out violently, act out legally, act out illegally. In short, try to turn those numbers into a negative. Try to make gay people, regret the day they ever got gay marriage. We'll talk more with Doug Danger. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I don't know how you feel about gay marriage. If you support it, are you opposed to it now based upon his logic? If you're straight and you oppose gay marriage, do you oppose it on the grounds that gay people would be better at it? I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
You can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I didn't say that. I said if you're gay and you're straight, too.
Philip, call 1-800-LESS-GAS. 1-800-537-7427, 1-800-LESS-GAS, 800-LESS-GAS.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Derek. Thank you. 877, Doug, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, talking to Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. And we're discussing gay marriage, and the reason why we're discussing it is in New York State today, Governor Cuomo said that he expected same-sex marriage legislation to be approved by the end of the legislative session next week in the state of New York, and indicated that to win passage of the measure, he is prepared to yield to Republican concerns for greater protections of religious groups. It sounds like they're working it out, you know?
Yeah, well, when when you say it sounds like they're working out, what does that mean?
It means it sounds like, at least in New York State, conservative groups and liberal groups are working it out. And if they're working it out, it's possibly working out in other parts of the country.
Well, I wouldn't count on it. I wouldn't count. First of all, when you say they're working it out, you've got a handful of educated men and women in the state houses of the United States getting together and figuring out how they can make gay marriage work. Okay, fine, that's great. Now it gets out. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And you keep asking me these questions like, it's like you don't think I know what I'm talking about. And
Doug, I'm going to ask you questions.
No, I understand that, but some of these are pretty basic. And when I tell you that I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, I'm telling you that I've been, that you know, I'm a part of this. I'm a part of this. And I'm a part of this study group. And I'm a part of the gay experience in America. And because I'm a part of the gay experience in America, I'm gay. And because I'm gay, I'm part of that class of people that might make marriage for the first time in the history of marriage a success. No more divorce. Now, understand that I'm a gay man.
Hold on. Whoa. Now, that's saying something. No more divorce?
Not among gay people. We've had such a long history of being abused and kicked around and beat up that we want to be married, and we're going to hold on to marriage, and we're going to respect marriage, and we're going to treat it right, and we won't get divorced. Where straight people have never been able to do that because it came too easy to them. See what I'm saying? Came too easy. So as they see us being successful, they're going to hurt us.
All right. Here's where I want to ask you a question, and we can get the opinion of people out there as well. It may be that gay people are more successful at marriage. I don't know. It could be.
Well, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You know,
you're a gay man and a gay journalist, Doug, but how do you know that gay people will be more successful at marriage?
I'm a gay man. If
I know that you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
All right, then why aren't you listening to me? Gay people, if we're more successful at being married and we eliminate divorce, at least among gay, there will be no divorce among gay people. That makes straights look like dysfunctional slobs. I hate to put it that way. And what happens is this, Phil. If you saw the film The Time Machine, in the film The Time Machine, the hero, H.G. Wells' hero, travels into the future, all right? And the future, in this future, he encounters two classes of people. He encounters the people that live above ground who are tanned, fit, they drink lots of rainwater, they eat, you know, eat well, there's lots of vegetation, they swim, they lift, I don't know if they lift weights, but they do calisthenics or whatever they do. And then there are the Molochs. Now,
yes, the ones that lived underground.
The ones that lived underground. What's happening is that gay marriage and straight marriage are on their way to that kind of a split.
Oh, come on.
Will you hold on? Hold on for a minute, because I'm trying to make the point here.
All right, but gay marriage is what? Gay marriage of the people that live above ground?
Well, if you take the gay people who get rid of divorce, gay people have a higher income. Gay people have a much more successful living standard. If they adopt children, that means children are going to be taken care of better. The homes are more stable. The businesses prosper because the people are happier. And suddenly you have a superclass of individuals who are so enjoying their lives and so happy, they not only have successful business, they start to get into politics, and they become a superclass lead in the country. Those are gay people. Now, straight people, as they see this and as they continue to fail at marriage, they become a, how do I put this, Phil? They become a very disenchanted, slovenly bunch of people. Slob-like. They continue to beat up on their wives. They have income. They get pushed out of jobs. You know what I'm saying? And so now you have this distinct difference between the gay, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I would be in that superclass, and the heterosexual who is a mutant that walks around with, I don't know, like a hunchback or some mutant dragging its knuckles. Now,
What are you talking about here, man? Are you saying so literally?
No, I'm saying in the social sense. Heterosexuals in the social sense will be mutants. And the gay will rule, you know, if you want to say it, the gay will rule the day.
All right, well, our number 877-876-PHIL, talking here with Doug Danger of the Orange County Courier. And I have to just say this. Your time machine analogy lost me. I had every intention of understanding what you were talking about. You know,
but the time machine, and that, huh? What was unclear about that?
The whole thing about straight people becoming Molochs and knuckle-dragging with the hunchback, I don't understand that. I understand where gay people getting married, that might be a really good thing.
What do you mean, might? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I understand that you're gay, and it could be a good thing because they're happier, they make more money, that you know, stable home, everything you said. I give you that, all right? I don't understand how that means that straight people begin to degrade or erode or otherwise become less.
Because they're looking at gay people. God, you're straight. I got to remember that. You're straight, so.
I'm dumb?
I didn't say that. But I'm just going to tell you this. As they see straight gay straight, if they see a gay straight, or if they see a straight gay, if they see gay people, if straight see gay people being successful, they'll get angry, they'll beat up on their women, they'll beat up on their kids, they'll probably double, if not triple, their crystal meth and meth output. And within a generation, they will become a kind of a scrawny, lizard-like human living out in the rocks, out the desert. I don't know. And
you mean literally?
Well, what do you mean by literally?
A scrawny, lizard-like human living out in the rocks in the desert.
That's where a lot of them are going, yeah. A lot of your straights. A lot of your straights. Because the straight looks at the gay, and he throws up his hands and he goes, you know, F me. You know, I'm done. I'm all in. I'm done for. And he goes out to the desert, hooks up some more meth. I don't know. Changes the tires on his trailer.
877-876-PHIL. Is gay marriage something that's bad for gay people because it will start a civil war between straights and gays? We're talking to Doug Danger about it. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back to Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Tomorrow night we have our special local Los Angeles show on KFI AM 640, but you can watch the show no matter where you are, and you can listen to it no matter where you are. You can listen to it via their website or watch it here at philhendryshow.com, live streaming Phil TV video. With me is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, a entertainment writer as well as a political writer, as we continue to discuss gay marriage, the future of gay marriage. And what we've been talking about here, Doug, is a little disquieting, because what you're saying is that straight people are going to resent gay people having success.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. And the reason why I say that is because the more successful gay people are at marriage, the more of a I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but I have a tough time sometimes putting things to word. The more successful the gay person is at marriage, the more the straight will retreat to that meth lab.
And see, that's what is that, man? That is unfair. That's a stereotype of some kind. I don't know where you got that.
Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but I'm not reading your mind.
I'm saying that the more successful gay people are, the more the straight retreats to the meth lab. What, bud?
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're telling me about gay marriage, does that mean you have sex in an area that, you know, regular people don't?
Well, yeah, I mean, you say regular people don't. There's a lot of straight people that have sex that way, my man. And there's a lot of gay people that don't. So,
It's against the sin. It's against the sin in the straight religion.
I don't know what he means by against the sin.
He's saying that it's a sin, that kind of sexual act. Although I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, it is. If you look at the Bible and everything.
Well, I'll tell you this much. The Bible hasn't got anything to do with anything. You want to read the Bible, you go right ahead. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay? You want to know the Bible that I read? I read my own Bible. I wrote my Bible. And the Bible that the Bible I read is the Bible I wrote. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. There's a Trinity, right? There's God, the Father, and the Son. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. In my Trinity, there's gay man, gay journalist, and then gay. And the gay is the Holy Spirit, the gay journalist is the Son, and God is the gay man.
What's that? That's stupid.
What does that mean, Doug?
Huh? Boy, you guys don't get it.
No, I don't get it. I don't speak that language. I'm sorry. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. Let's talk to Joe. Hi, Joe. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi. Good. Thank you.
Look, let's just get to what I call the, you know what? Gay is gay. Girl on girl, guy on guy. You know, whatever you want to call it. We call it gay, homosexual, and we call it something.
What do you call straight? You know? What do you call straight?
Straight is guy on gal. You know, or
guy on guy?
Well, no,
she didn't say
no,
guy on guy.
It's
guy
my
on gal.
Guy on my gal, which is...
Your guy on
straight.
Your gal? And who's your gal? Your girlfriend?
No, my
will you let
guy
the lady finish?
My husband, I love
your guy on you.
So much.
All right, so we've got that out of the way.
I mean, I'm just kidding. Okay, the lady started out by saying way. Guy, girl,
but
girl.
I am so open-minded, but, you know, here's my deal.
You let me decide that. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'll decide that.
Sure.
Let's let the lady talk, okay? Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, now you're a gay man talking to me about lady talk, so how do you know about my lady talk?
I didn't understand that. That sounded like a foreign language. This is what you said. You went, how about my lady talk? I don't know what it said. What did you just say?
You told me that you know about lady talk, so let's talk.
I know about lady talk. I know about guy talk. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
And
are you saying I'm...
Cool.
Oh, so you're saying because I'm gay I'm effeminate?
No, I'm saying what I'm impressed with is the fact that you're a journalist. I could care less if you're gay.
Thank you.
But I do.
You said you're open-minded, so why wouldn't you care that I'm
gay? Coming into the Bible and saying that it's okay. No, I guarantee you one thing, it's not okay. I don't care.
It's totally cool in the Bible. The Bible's totally cool with it.
No,
what do you mean the Bible's totally
cool?
Yeah, it is.
I live it.
No, it's not. The Bible says you're not allowed to put, you can't have sex that way.
Judge not lest you be judged. But don't shove it in my face.
You just said you got no problem with people, and yet
you
judge a man if he wants to do it. And what?
No, you
won't. Let me ask you a question, ma'am.
Sure.
What about straight people that do it that way?
Straight
people? What about straight people that do it like that?
Straight people will go to hell if they do it like that.
Well, we're not talking about sodomy.
What I'm concerned with...
Yeah, you are. You're talking about...
You're talking about the butt.
Well, here's my point, Joe.
Okay.
If gay people get marriage rights, we get marriage rights. That means I believe, and I think I'll be proved right that we will do better at marriage than straight people. And I think straight people will resent that. We will do better because look at where we've come from. Look at how we've been put in jail, and we've been put in mental institutions.
Gay friends.
And so,
because I have many.
Look at cowgirl.
Super friends who are gay.
Oh,
that is fine. I love
that. Such bull crap.
People who are
such bull crap.
What I don't like is a person who hides behind a fence or
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist,
claims,
okay?
Oh, I'm gay, but I don't want to be here right now.
Do you and your husband engage in gay sex?
What kind of a question is that?
Gay sex?
I just asked her.
How would we possibly do that? We engage in all
three guesses.
Sex because I love my husband.
Okay, there you go. So you engage in the act that God burned sodomy to the ground for. There you go. Thank you very much, Phil. I'm done.
You know what, Doug? I don't know what you said. I don't know what you just said there.
This lady is putting down gay people, yet her and her husband go at it every night gay style. You go at it every night gay style.
No, that part's a sin.
I love all people, period.
Oh God! If you say that one more time, I'm going to go back on pills.
Well, you're going to have to.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
You're not going to walk in my restaurant with your daggum pants hanging off your butt.
I'm going to tell you this right now. You got to stop drinking your dinner. That's number one. Number two, I'm a gay man.
Okay, no, I know. All right, thanks very much.
You can be gay.
That, but you're right about that. You're going to wear shorts? Okay. 877-876-PHIL.
Mr. Henry, I'd like to say something at this time.
Go ahead.
Don't put me on the air with a drunk. I don't like drunk women. I don't like them. Never have. My mother was a drunk. And when I said that my father beat my mother, did I say I minded? Because
you know something? You talk an awful lot, man. And half the stuff you say I don't like, and the other half I don't understand.
What did I say?
My father beat my mother, and I never said I didn't like it. For starters...
My mother drank. There wasn't anything she didn't drink. Non-alcoholic, alcoholic, something you had to spray in your hair, something you sprayed on your you-know-what. It all went inside of her. Nothing on, you know, Desinex. She didn't know that that was for jock itch.
877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Henry Show. We got Doug Danger on the line as we talk about gay marriage. Will it cause a civil war between gays and straights as gays are more successful at marriage than straight people? Here is Jim. Jim, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Phil. Thank you for letting
yes,
me speak my mind here.
I've been
listening to this guy, and this guy, I think he's just deranged because of the way he was raised. He talks about the way his mom and dad, their relationship, and I feel like he's just basing everything in his opinion and his mind and his thoughts on his mom and dad's relationship. And he doesn't state any statistics whatsoever about divorce or anything like that.
Gay people about, haven't been married yet, sir. How can I have statistics? They haven't been given a chance. I'm taking an educated guess that gay people, coming from their background of having been denied this, are going to embrace marriage and make it work better than straight people. I think that's an educated guess. I think that's a pretty good guess.
I never denied that, sir. I never denied that.
Okay.
But I'm saying you have a total misconception of a heterosexual marriage. I was married 30 years, and yes, I got a divorce. Yes, I had a problem.
There you go.
But
there
it was
you go.
A fantastic marriage for the whole 30
yeah.
years, and I have two
You're
wonderful
right.
children to
well,
say
but
that
it didn't
I had
last.
A successful marriage.
No,
so,
it didn't,
you know,
because you got divorced.
No. Now, what's the language?
No. He was,
you know,
shut
guy,
up, Doug.
All he can do is talk. He can't listen to nothing.
All Go
he can
ahead,
do
Jim.
Is talk.
You bought it, man.
Is I have had a successful marriage. There was never one hand laid upon my wife. There was never one hand laid upon me by my wife. We had a wonderful
that
marriage.
Doesn't sound like fun.
We had a problem when we had a divorce. But we've got 200 children from that marriage. Now, you tell me
you
what
say
you're
that
going to have.
How can you say that was successful?
Marriage?
How can you say that was successful when you said your wife never put a hand on
we
you?
Have, because we have the fruit of a marriage. We have two wonderful
fruit
people in this world from that marriage. And
sir, I understand you had children. I'm sure they're great kids. You just said to me
Absolutely.
You went fruit. I don't understand what he means.
What do you mean he went fruit?
He just said. Did you go fruit?
You know
you're
what
gay.
Upset me?
Oh, God.
You keep it in your mouth and you won't listen to anything. That's what
I heard
me.
You. You said you got a divorce, but you've got two great kids. I congratulate you on that, but you still got a divorce. In my book, where I'm standing, from the top of the just from the fence that I'm standing behind and overlooking the ball field.
We understand what you mean. From your point of view, the man's marriage was unsuccessful.
Exactly. I'm sorry, Jim. You sound like a nice guy, and I'm sure your kids are great. But let's face it, man, you blew it. Blew it bad.
Why are you rubbing it in on this guy? We've all had our ups and our downs. Let me tell you something. I'll give you a little piece of advice here, Doug.
Oh, here we go. Is the straight guy going to set me straight?
Yeah. When you get involved in the world of marriage, when gay people are accorded this right, as I believe it is their right, and you find out what it's like to work out a relationship with a human being over many, many years, I think the rate of divorce among gay people will be similar to the rate of divorce among straight people.
Well, those are fighting words, pal.
Well, they may be fighting words. That's my educated guess.
Phil, could I say one more thing?
Go ahead, sir.
I just want to say, Doug, I have some gay people that are friends. And if anything, I'd probably be considered a bisexual. Because
now I know what happened to your marriage.
Oh, will you shut up, Doug, please?
Is he going to listen to me, or is he going to just...
Now I know what happened to your wife. Did your wife... Oh, God.
Go ahead, Jim.
Is he going to listen to me? I was not bisexual.
I'm listening. I'm making a ham sandwich.
Okay, I can't say nothing because he keeps rattling his mouth.
You can know. He put the phone down. He's doing something else. Go ahead.
All I'm saying is I was not bisexual until well after our divorce. And I have some gay friends. But you know what? What he is saying, in my opinion, he is saying that he hates heterosexuals, and he's also against gay people. I mean, where is his mind at?
The lean ham, man. The lean ham. That's what I want. Hello?
Yeah, Doug, you know, you're really rude. The man was... He thinks you hate straight people.
I do. All right.
I read that right.
Okay, anyway, Jim, yeah, you did. Thanks, Jim, for your call. We'll take a break. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as Doug Danger. Are you making a sandwich?
No, I'm ordering. What do you mean making one? I'm ordering one. I'm in a sandwich place. I'm getting light ham with that spicy mayo. You got a problem with that? Am I supposed to apologize for that?
Yeah, that sounds like a disgusting sandwich. What? Lean ham with spicy mayo? We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on this Friday night. And coming up next hour, it's our news and information hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. Each and every night, get a backstage pass and watch our Phil TV in HD. With me is Doug Danger. He is with the Orange County Courier. He is gay, an out gay journalist, and we're talking about gay marriage in New York. Across the country, in varying stages and in varying ways, Doug, gay marriage is becoming a reality, and you're ready to bury it, and you're gay, and you're ready to bury it in its infancy.
I do not see straight people taking kindly to the fact that gay people, not that gay people have marriage. I think straight people want gay people to have marriage. I think a lot of straight people feel, well, it's the right thing to do. And they sort of make themselves feel better, you know, wanting the right. And then when they turn around and they say, all right, let's give these, you know, let's be honest, you know, let's give the queers what they want. And
come on, Doug, not everybody talks like that.
Well,
not everyone is that kind of a bigot.
Well, you know, Phil, if you got all the milk of human kindness in you, that's fine. But I'm telling you right now, when the straights say, okay, give the queers what they want, and we get marriage, and guess what? We hit it out of the park with marriage. I mean, we are better at it than straight people. And they find themselves retreating deeper and deeper and deeper up into a canyon where they've got that, you know, where they have the reserve meth lab. And
everything with you is meth lab. Everything with you is out to the day. Everything with you is straight people, meth lab. Straight, you know.
Well, I think there's going to be an awful lot of people who are going to return to drugs as a solace.
Because gays are good at marriage? It's unbelievable, man. 877-876-PHIL. Phil. Here's another Phil in Gainesville. Hi, Phil. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Phil. Thanks for having me.
Hey, yes, sir.
Marriage, whether it's gay or straight, now I've been married for 15 years to my wife, and it's been a very fruitful marriage. I have 3 children. Okay? But marriage is with 2 people that love each other. Okay? I have
right.
never touched my wife in a physical, never hit my wife.
You mean a violent way?
I have
in
never,
a violent way.
I have never hurt my wife in any way physically. Okay.
All right. Can I ask you this question?
Sure.
Do you use meth?
Why are you going on this meth thing?
It's just a question.
I have been drug free for all 46 years of my life.
Okay. Question answered.
All right. I'm just curious.
Doug, let me ask you this. I'm dead serious about
yeah.
that. Let me ask you this. What about the violence? There is violence in every relationship. Not every relationship. There's violence in every type of relationship. There is violence in the gay community. There is violence in the straight community.
Yeah, there's when violence in the gay community. It's brought into the gay community by straights.
Now he's talking about gay guys in a gay relationship.
Listen how uncomfortable you guys are. You guys can't even say gay.
I'm not stuttering. Doug, you stuttered more than I have.
You can't say gay, just a couple of gays queering it up.
I had a kid
queering it up, huh?
High school with. Let me finish. I had a kid that I went to.
You had a kid, and then you went to high school with him?
No, I went to high school with this gentleman. He was homosexual, and he killed his partner in a fit of rage. Okay, it happens to gay people. It happens to straight people. It doesn't matter. It's human nature. At some point, some people snap. Whether they're
gay. I ask you a question. Was that you? Was it you? Was it you? And you're just hiding?
No, come on.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I got to ask the question. I understand there's violence, okay?
But so why all of a sudden, if you just get married, will that stop all the gay violence?
No, but here's the thing. I didn't say there won't be gay violence. I said we're going to be better at marriage than straights. That's all I said.
Then you're going to
We're going to be divorced less.
You. I'm not envious.
We'll be divorced less. We will. Our marriages will last longer.
Did you hear what Phil just said? He said then they, you know, straight people will be envious and will want to work harder on their marriages.
I don't see that. I don't see that at all. I think they're going to retreat deeper and deeper into the canyon.
What is deeper and deeper? What does that mean?
You don't want me to say where they keep this. Yeah.
What about all the?
They'll get skinnier and skinnier. They'll lose more teeth.
What about all the celebrities who have, you know, gay partners, and they break up?
What?
After?
Who?
What?
Who?
Huh?
What are you talking about, man? You didn't hear what I said. I said all kinds of straight people have partners they break up with. I'm going to say
what?
It again. We're going to be better at marriage than straight people.
Better?
There's all kinds of people that break up. Okay, but I'm saying we're going to be better at marriage than straight people, and as we get better at marriage, straight people will lose more teeth, and more sores will open up on their face.
You know, I appreciate very much, Phil, your call. Thank you. That's all the time we have as Doug Danger goes out snorting through the phone. We'll be back next hour, News and Information Hour. Thank you, Doug. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
More teeth and more teeth and more teeth.
Phil Hendry.
Straight marriage is going to be like Faces of Meth.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't because they haven't got the ability, the talent. It's all messed up. But
probably making money.
They're probably making money, yeah. And welcome. This is our News and Information Hour with Bud Dickman. Say hello, Bud.
Hello, buddy. And I just want to say I didn't mean to butt in on a Doug Danger.
No, you were asking Danger some good questions. What, Robert?
Are you trying to tell me what that guy... You thought those are good questions?
Yeah, I was asking about sex.
You asking a man about gay sex going, we're not supposed to do it in the butt and all that.
Well, come on, guys. We're on the air right now.
Yeah, but you hit a dumbass?
You wasn't dumbass. Otherwise, Mr. Henry, tell me shut up.
I'll tell you why we did that, Robert. Because we were expecting to have R.C. Collins call in, and he didn't. So Bud took his place. Speaking of that, R.C. Collins is due to call in this hour, I think, right?
Yeah, he's going to call in, and he's going to call in about it.
About what? About gay sex?
No.
Well, then what do you mean about it? What's he going to call in about?
He's going to call in about how gay
you are?
Shut up, man.
Let him finish. What?
How gay Civil War reenactment is.
How gay Civil War reenactment is.
Man, you're going to get some people pissed off at you for that.
I ain't going to do it.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. So that'll be RC in just a few minutes. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Go over, get a backstage pass, get access to our live streaming video every night, as well as our podcasts each and every day. You can listen to the Phil Hendry Show on your iPod. You can sign up for the podcast. Goes right into your iPod. You're set to go. You're good to go. You're all that. Then, of course, we have our archives, as well as our rants and our webisodes. And if you'd like to take a look, by the way, at what our actual Phil TV videocasts look like, head on over to YouTube. Take a look at one called, what's the one you just put it, bud?
Yeah, put up the one called How to Stop a Predator.
How to Stop a Predator, yeah. Check that one out. That's the Real Bud Dickman channel on YouTube. Dozens of, now this is right close to home, man, because we are here at the El Pacifico, and just down the road from us is the city, the beautiful city here in Ventura County of Oxnard, California.
Yeah, you know they don't spell with an S.
What?
How do you know they don't spell with an S?
An A-X-N-A-R-D-S. Isn't that funny? Shut up. Dozens of Oxnard 8th graders were allowed to walk in their graduation ceremony Wednesday despite not meeting minimum academic standards. Since 2008, the Oxnard School District has had standards that students must meet to participate in the ceremony. However, Interim Superintendent Julian Lopez... Is it Julian or Julian?
I think I'd say the J is pronounced with a who.
Yeah. Like, if it's a J, it's like Hackelin.
Hackelin?
Yeah, Hackelin Kennedy.
Hackelin Kennedy, huh? What an idiot.
Hey, Hackelin Kennedy, man. Only in some instances.
Why did you guys just let me read this, okay? Hackelin Kennedy.
That's what it is.
No, it ain't, man. First of all, Jacqueline ain't Spanish. It's French or something. I don't know what it is. Hackelin.
What if they say La Jolla?
Yeah, in a Spanish name, J sounds like huh. What do you think, it's Hack Kennedy too?
Well, he did.
In any event, since 2008, the Oxnard School District has had standards that students must meet to participate in the ceremony. However, the interim superintendent, Julian Lopez, last week directed schools to let some of the students who didn't qualify walk with their classmates. His decision shocked teachers who say they've worked hard to uphold the standards. The goal of every teacher is to make sure that every student walks, said teacher union president Robin Lefkowitz. But if you... I know Robin Lefkowitz. I'm pretty sure I know her. I think Maria might know her. Anyway, if you choose not to study and not do your work, there are consequences, or there should be consequences. Students are told for 2 years their graduation ceremony is an honor they have to earn. Under the policy adopted by the board, students have to earn 75 credits in 7th and 8th grade to participate. A teacher said a student can do so even if they fail 3 classes a year and get D's in the rest. Students also get several opportunities to make up credits. And still they got some dumbasses that don't graduate? You know, I really shouldn't say that, though, because...
No, you're right, man.
Well, hold on for a minute. You know, it's easy for me to say, but, you know, as I get older, I just want to ask this question, all right?
You're getting soft, man. The older you get, the more soft you're getting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys a question. A kid comes from a home where the father's a drunk and the mother's a whore and there's violence in the house and the little guy, these kids come from some real circumstances, man. How the hell is a kid like that going to get any work done? That's number one, okay? And then you have all the other homes where there may not be a father, there may not be a mother. There's nobody there, even though they have good intentions. They're working, so there's no one there to hold the kids' feet to the fire to have them do homework. What the hell is going on in the American home? That's the big question of the 21st century. I'm telling you that right now.
You're going to have a lot of people getting pissed off, sticking your nose in their business.
Let me tell you what, man, it's increasingly becoming my business. I got no choice. I keep getting this stuff dumped in my lap. Hi, I'm Mr. America. You know?
No, you ain't.
I'm not the superhero smartass, okay? I'm Mr. and, you know, Mr. and Mrs. America.
You Mrs. America?
I'm going to kick you guys out in 5 seconds, all right? And I'm here, and I'm doing my thing, and increasingly, you know, someone's tapping me on the shoulder. You know, I know you're doing your thing, and I know you're paying your tax. I know you're keeping, you know, your head above water, but we've got a problem, and here's the problem. There are families and people. You know, people don't like what Hillary Clinton says, it takes a village. I know they were upset with, they didn't like that comment because it sounded all hippie and liberal and commie, right? And, you know, and it probably didn't quite, she probably didn't use the right circumstance. But let me ask you a question and tell me if I'm crazy. Sooner or later, whether you like it or not, it's taking a village, isn't it? Because what happens? These kids, they ain't getting an education. Fine. Great. They get their ass kicked out into the street after continuation. They're stupid as the day is long. They got no skill. Where are they going next? Well, you got it right. And then you think you're going to, then you think it takes a village? It takes a village of cops is what it takes.
That's true.
Takes a village. Well, you may not like the term takes a, it takes a freaking village of gendarmes, baby. Prisons, cops, jails. And it all starts back in the great old American home. So I'll tell you this right now. I don't want it to go there. I don't want to have anything to do with anybody's house. I don't want to see. I don't want to look. I don't want to hear. I don't give a damn. But if you're telling me every time I turn around now that I got another problem I got to solve that's outside the confines of my home because there's a kid that's not getting enough education. There's another kid over here ain't getting enough to eat. There's another kid over here getting his brains beat in. There's another kid's getting raped. There's another this, that, and something else. The great lost frontier of the 21st century, the great beyond, going where no man has gone before, right into the homes of Americans who aren't getting the job done.
Yeah, but he's right, man. People are going to say that's against the Constitution and everything.
Well, you know, but it depends, man. Cops have a right. I don't know what the answer is. I'm telling you right now, I don't know what the answer is.
You got going now, the Constitution of the United States.
I know about the Constitution, man. Do you remember those freaks that lived down in Texas? What was the name of those guys?
Yeah, they had a bun on their head.
What do you mean they had a bun on their head?
You talking about the religious?
Yeah, it was a religious group. Yeah, the ladies had the bun on their head. They had a bun on their head. Anyway, the cops went into that. That was one of those, I think it was an L, what did they call it?
SD.
No, not SD. What? Not the Davidians. No, it's the free, not the Branch Davidians. No, it was the guys that Warren Jeff's ass, isn't he an offshoot of the Mormons? And he, they had some concerns. They had concerns that this guy was having sex with underage women. Now, you can have any religion you want. You can worship a cat god. You can talk to mushrooms. You can eat mushrooms and then talk to more mushrooms. You can do anything you want. That's America. You can't have sex with children. No, 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 no. That doesn't happen. And I don't give a damn what religion you got. I don't care if your god has six heads. I don't care if it's the Christian god. I don't care if you do it under the guise of being a Christian. You don't get to do that. And that's when cops go rolling through the gates. And I endorse that 150%.
Everybody does, man. Nobody, no one arguing that.
I mean, that's something that Democrats and Republicans ought to agree on. That ought to be one area that we ought to agree on, and not this bull crap. Now, what happens when it isn't quite so cut and dried, but what's going on in that house is producing some kid that isn't bright enough to get an eighth grade education. He finally hits the streets. He's done for, man. He hasn't got the brains to blow his own nose. He gets out there. He falls in with just the right company to make an easy dollar, and he's off on a life of crime. Sooner or later, it's going to be my problem and your problem, too, whether you like it or not. Is that when you want to handle it? That's when you want to handle it, huh? When we're hearing the sirens at night? When, you know, when there's cops, you know, in a gunfight with somebody? I don't know. Maybe I guess that's what people like.
That's what a conservative doesn't want to do it.
I don't know that that's what conservatives want to do, man. I don't know that's what I think conservatives are as interested in education as liberals. It's the kind of education. But with this kind of thing going on, eighth grade kids, they can't graduate. And we're still arguing about whether it's a voucher, whether it's a this or that. Let me ask you a question. If a house is burning to the ground, are you going to argue about what kind of water pressure you want to use? Are you going to argue about whether the water should come from that fire hydrant there or should it come from that fire hydrant over there because that one has better water pressure? Well, man, I don't think that's exactly the same thing. Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. We got a house burning down, and we got people in Washington and elsewhere at the state capitol level arguing about what color truck should the fire department have. That's exactly what's happening.
Well, it's not the same as a house burning down.
Oh, it's not, huh? Well, you know what? If I believe, and it doesn't matter who I'm talking to, I could talk to a liberal or a conservative. If I talk to a liberal or a conservative, I hear the same thing from each side. The country's going to hell in a handcart. That's the one thing they agree on. The country's going to hell in a handbasket. Liberal, conservative, they agree on that. Okay, great. So if that's the case, the country is burning down to the ground, and you guys are standing around thumbing it, and wondering, well, I don't know, man. Should we have a bucket brigade or should we spit on it? What do you think we ought to do?
Well, I don't know, man. It just seems like you're being dumb.
Oh, get out of here. I agree with Bud, man. You don't understand the intricacies and everything? The intricacies? Yeah. By the way, to the guy that's got that Belvin Perry Twitter account, up yours, man. I thought it was funny, but I realize now you're just a run-of-the-mill, redneck, dumbass racist on Twitter. So you and your mom, man, I'll take turns on both of you. All right, our number 877-876. Phil will be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What do we got coming up here, Jace, in our next segment? Oh, R.C. Collins is going to be with us, giving us his take on the Civil War reenactments, plus a brawl erupted outside the Casey Anthony trial. And check us out on Twitter as well, twitter.com/RealPhilHenry.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show from Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. At Bradley is R.C. Collins. He's a junior cadet there. And we've had him on our show infrequently, but frequently enough anyway to talk about education at that level and in that kind of an institution, in that kind of a school, R.C., a military academy. And I don't know that a lot of people have the inside scoop on that. I know a lot of parents send their kids to military academies. Bradley is in Altadena?
That's correct, sir. Bradley Military Academy is 73 years of age and has catered to the college preparatory education of literally hundreds of thousands of young men. It is primarily a boys' military academy. Those of us who graduate with the higher honors are put into consideration for the West Point, the Army College at West Point, as well as the private universities like the Citadel or Virginia Military Institute. But my personal goal is West Point.
And what parts of the country do the students come from?
Bradley has a lot of kids from the West Coast. I'm from California. There's a lot of people from the West Coast, like Nevada or Arizona, the Western states. But we do have students. We have a few students from, like, down south, Florida, Alabama, Georgia. And I think we got a couple of there's one student in my class is from Maryland, and we have a several in the upper class from New York State.
Now, this is the summer months, and I imagine you guys will be leaving there soon and heading back home. What do you guys do for the summer months when you're not there at the academy?
Well, I'm going to probably go back to I live with my father in Northern California in Palo Alto, and so that's where I'll probably go. I just got invited by, two of my classmates to attend a Civil War reenactment in Virginia.
Well, that sounds interesting.
Well, I thought it would be, but I was told that I was not, they uninvited me. And
why did they do that?
Well, I'm not really sure. I don't know whether it's because I don't have a lot of experience doing it or because I wasn't there last year. I don't have enough time. They didn't really give me a good reason. They just were very upset.
What I don't understand. They're upset. So these are classmates of yours?
Yes, sir.
And they're from Virginia?
No, they're both from North Carolina, but they do a Civil War reenactment in Virginia in July, which is coming up for the Gettysburg, of the Battle of the Gettysburg.
Oh, okay. So these are classmates of yours, and that's a big reenactment of the Battle of Gettysburg, which was between what?
Well, it was July 1st through, I think, July 3rd or 4th. And, it falls right on the anniversary of America. And I had said that they were asking if anybody wanted to be in it. That's why I was very curious about it.
Well, because I'm not really understanding. They asked you if you wanted to be in the Civil War reenactment.
Yes, sir.
And you said yes.
Yes, sir.
How did you get uninvited?
Well, I told them that I didn't want to be a Southern soldier. I said I want to be an American soldier because of... I'm in Bradley Military Academy, which eventually I want to go to West Point. That's the United States Army, so I was going to be in the Union Army, you know?
Well, you didn't disparage the Southern forces, did you?
No, sir. I just said I didn't want to be a Southern soldier, and I said that I wanted to be, and they said, well, you don't really get to choose. You got to do what they tell you. And I said, there's no way. I said, because my instinct as an American soldier would be against the enemy or like the South, even though I know the South is America. But my instinct would be if I saw like Robert E. Lee, who I know is a great man and is respected by everybody, but if I saw Robert E. Lee, I'd probably want to gut him. And
you'd want to do what?
Gut him. It's a military term.
No, I know what it is. You'd want to gut Robert E. Lee.
Well, yes, sir. That's God.
Well, this is why they uninvited you, man. I think they were offended.
Well, get used to it. You lost the war, man. I don't know what.
Oh, okay. These are two Southern students. They're American students.
Yeah, that's what I told them. I said, "You come from America. What are you being all South in there, all rebel and everything?" And they're all,
Well, what did they say?
We are American. We're just doing a reenactment, and you offended the Confederate way.
You offended the Confederate way.
Yeah, and I said why? Because I said I'd clean my bayonet off with Robert E. Lee's guts. I would today, and I would yesterday, and I'd do it again today.
Well, what you did was you offended and insulted your classmates by saying that, because the name Robert E. Lee is respected in the South. Did you really say you'd clean your bayonet off with his guts?
Well, yeah, because I'd be an American.
Well, Confederate guys were Americans, too. It was a horrible war, a tragic time, and it was a time that we've learned a lot from, and for you to say that you would, you know...
I said I'd clean my bayonet off with his guts, and you got it. Put his head on a stick. Whip the hat on it. And his horses, too. And then I said I was kidding.
You're an idiot. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
And the horses, too. Phil Henry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show. You head to our website, philhenryshow.com, and get our brand new official Phil Henry Show t-shirt. You must have that for the summer months. Our big logo on the back. It's perfect for going out and riding on the weekends. You can cut off the sleeves. I mean, it looks exactly like your own personal patch, the Phil Henry Show club patch, or whatever you want to make it. It's the Phil Henry Show t-shirt. It's over there at philhenryshow.com in our merchandise shop. Head over there and check out our t-shirt and our coffee mug and our shot glass and all of our CDs. What, bud?
Well, you're not the best-looking guy in the world.
I didn't say I was the best-looking guy in the world, did I? I didn't say that at all. I just said that these two people were really ugly.
Now, they're talking, she didn't have no teeth and a mullet?
I was telling them about a couple of people that I saw. We were talking about the Casey Anthony trial, which I'm going to tell you about. And last time I was in Orlando was with the family. We were taking the kids on a Disney cruise. And let me tell you, that ain't cheap.
Boy, I'll say, you must be rich.
Boy, man, can you say that any more stupid?
You must be rich.
Well,
yeah, you know, at the time I was. Anyway, we went and we had breakfast, and you're going to have breakfast, and then you go and you get on the boat and you go, you know, do the thing. So I saw a woman sitting there. She had a mullet, no teeth, a big nose, and a big ass. So that's all I said to these guys, and they start telling me I'm not the best-looking guy in the world.
No, I agree. That's ugly.
Oh, yeah, it was scary. And the boyfriend had a mullet. See, the whole thing with mullets, and the reason why I think the mullet is such a funny thing, is people do wear them, and the people that wear mullets are unaware of the fact that it's kind of a joke now. It's America's big running inside joke. And it's an amazing thing that there's a segment of Americans that get it, and there's a segment of Americans that don't. Now, far be it from me, a bald guy, to make fun of a cat's mullet, but I will tell you this much. I had no choice. See? A guy with a mullet, he dies! All right, Casey Anthony trial, surprise witness embarrasses defense, brawl erupts outside courtroom, look out! This trial is amazing, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not following this Casey Anthony trial, you don't know what's going on, man. You have no idea the depth of evil in this world. And you think it's just a murder trial. Take a look at this Casey Anthony. You're looking at the purest kind of psychopath you could possibly imagine.
Man, she's a frightened man. I was looking at her the way you said the other day, like she's a robot.
She's just like a robot. If you look at her face... And that's what I was trying to, that was what I was trying to hit on. She's like an alien. When you look at Casey Anthony's face, look at the blank expression. Now, I know she cries occasionally. She cries when she recognizes what a big problem she's created for herself. When her mother started crying, she was crying. When they talked about the baby in some instances, she was crying. Not because she lost this baby. Not because she lost... Not because of what's happened to her family. She's bawling because she knows she's dead meat. She's spending the rest of her life out of control of her life. Somebody else will have control of her life. It's called the state of Florida. If she's granted life in prison, for the rest of her life, she'll be told when to get up, when to go to bed, how to do it, right now, she's holding it together. But when you look at this woman, this Casey Anthony, you are looking at the closest thing to a robot that a human can be. Look at the face. Look at how her eyes go back and forth between the defense and the prosecution. The defense, then when someone sits down, she turns and she looks at them. It's almost as if she landed on Earth about 3 days ago.
Yeah, I was just going to say, man, it's like she's an alien from another planet looking at Earth.
Like Starman. Remember Starman?
Yeah.
She's like, wow, look at this and look at that. And look at this, and oh, hi, and there's no feeling, no emotion, no nothing. How do I know? How could I possibly prove that to you? This woman murdered her daughter, and 30 days later, and I was just looking at this in the archives, the interrogation is on tape. The Orange County Sheriff detectives that interrogated her, it's all on tape. And brother, these three cops are saying to her, you're a liar. We know you're a liar.
Yeah, he said, you're lying, so make the lie stop right now. And she goes, no, I'm not.
Yeah, and in other words, she was caught in this loop that wasn't working. She didn't recognize how it wasn't working, but it wasn't working. And yet she was not going to end the loop. She was not going to turn the tape off. She was going to keep on saying, I don't know, I swear to God. I don't know, even though these three cops are looking at her and they're saying, no, Ms. Anthony, please understand, we know you're lying. You're lying. We know it. There's no question at all Now, this guy Melich, this Yuri Melich, who was one of these cops, he said, you know, she was so good that I didn't know what I had. There was a moment there where I thought, well, you know, let's go see and what she's talking about. He says, I couldn't believe that anybody could be that full of crap, that full of horse dung, and still just keep pitching it, you know? In other words, it's like when I was a kid, my brother and I, we didn't want to walk to the bathroom because it was so cold at night, because the bathroom was the other side of the house. So we used to pee through the window.
What?
We did. We did.
You did what, man?
I know it's probably off point. We did. My brother and I, it was so cold to get out of bed and go to the other end of the house where the bathroom was, because we had two bathrooms and they were all at one end of the house. My brother and I, our bedroom was at the other end. So we'd pee out the window, and it killed.
You killed your dad's plant?
I killed my dad's plant. Yeah, that story. And my poor father, he would say to my mom, what the hell is going on? This plant won't grow, you know? Well, it's like the same thing. You got this story, and you keep throwing pee on it, man. It ain't going to grow.
Man, you ran a long way for that one.
Well, at least I got in the pee story. So that's what this kid, this Casey Anthony, does. She just keeps pitching the same line of horse dung, and she doesn't understand. She's got these three detectives who are going, no, you know, lady, we don't know what it is you're trying to prove here, but we don't buy it. They even went so far as to say to her, You know where she is right now. You know that they said, you know that girl is not in very good shape, meaning the daughter. You know that baby's not in very good shape. She's not the way your family remembers her. And finally, that one cop said, she's in a dumpster. She's buried. I mean, this is how good cops get when there's just, you know, there's a certain pattern to things. And sometimes a cop can read it about 5 miles away. You know, and not everything is a big damn secret. Not everything is the great bank heist. Not everything is Deep Throat. Some stuff you can read with Braille. And this is one of those cases where these three cops, long before you and I ever said, wow, she murdered the kid. These cops are sitting there at Universal saying, you know where that girl is, you know where that daughter of yours is, and she's probably decomposing right now. That's what the cops said. And by God, he was right. And this, Anthony, no, I swear to God, no, I swear, I would never do anything. Every line of horse crap you ever heard in your life, it's just, it's amazing. All right, so today's trial. So now I got you. And by the way, Judge Belvin Perry is the greatest. He's I don't know, there's something about the guy that's really funny too. Great prosecuting attorneys. Jose Baez he's doing his best. He's trying his hardest. I don't know. It's a very interesting trial. I'll tell you one thing. It's far better run than that O.J. Simpson, that asinine trial with Simpson, and that Ito jackass.
I glance, you know, that guy's an idiot.
All right, so Casey Anthony trial, surprise witness embarrasses defense, brawl erupts outside. Casey Anthony's surprise witness became an embarrassment for the defense today when the witness held a news conference outside of the courthouse where she is being tried for murder and said that he did not know the Anthony family. Casey Anthony, this was a witness called by Casey Anthony, a surprise witness, embarrassed the defense when the witness held a news conference outside of the courthouse where Casey Anthony's being tried for murder and said he didn't know the Anthony family. How about that? Defense attorney Jose Baez included Vasco Thompson, a convicted kidnapper, as a last-minute surprise addition to his amended witness list earlier this week. Baez claimed that Thompson and Casey Anthony's father, George Anthony, shared a series of phone conversations the day before 2-year-old Kaylee Anthony's disappearance was reported to authorities. So you know that Baez is trying to paint old man Anthony as the killer. George Anthony angrily issued a statement through his attorney earlier this week denying Baez's claims. Today, Vasco Thompson stood outside the Orange County Courthouse and also denied that he'd ever met George Anthony. This is what we're talking about, folks. This is a desperate, desperate bunch of people here. I have no idea who George Anthony is, Thompson said. The phone number they got, I didn't have that number until February of 2009. I don't know why they dragged me into all this mess. Baez never said what Thompson's connection to the case may have been. but he has accused George Anthony of helping to dispose of Kaylee's body after she accidentally drowned in the family pool. It is unlikely that Baez will now call Thompson to the witness stand. No kidding. But most of the drama around the Casey Anthony trial happened outside the courthouse today. Hours before Thompson spoke, a brawl erupted among people who'd lined up all night for a coveted seat to the murder trial. The violence prompted the Orange County Courthouse to change their rules today for those seeking admission to the trial. Here is the sound of that brawl breaking out as two men try to cut in line. Bad move, man, to get tickets. Now, I don't know what happened, but if you want to see a picture of it, it's on the homepage, on our homepage, and these guys are getting clobbered by these women. And I shouldn't laugh, but there's one woman, I mean, you can see it. It's a straight right hand, and she connects, and this guy is, like, falling over. I don't know what these guys thought. I don't know what they were doing. They thought maybe they could cut in line because it was a bunch of chicks. No can do, brother. Anyway, most of the, so we told you about that. Since the trial began, those hoping to get a glimpse of Anthony's legal drama have lined up during the night for one of the 58 seats reserved for members of the public. Casey Anthony is accused of murdering her daughter. You know the story. She's pled not guilty. The overnight brawl wasn't the first time those seeking admission have gotten into a scuffle. Other skirmishes have occurred over the last few weeks, but none got this violent. On Thursday night, people began lining up as early as 8:30 for a chance to attend today's hearing. When the crowd was moving to a location closer to the courthouse entrance around 5 a.m., fists began to fly. Jessie Doris, age 27, told ABC affiliate WFTV she was shocked when the men just, quote, cut in front of me. The two men trying to cut to the front of the line began throwing punches, and one lady is seen on camera punching another man to free her friend from a headlock. The fight was caught on video. After this morning's punch-up, the rules for gaining access to the trial now require people to line up at 8 a.m., these guys are punching women? Who are these two scumbags?
There's no name there, the guys.
Well, they should have... this is what makes me wonder whether the thing happened the way they say it happened. Because if it did, then by God, there'd be a name, wouldn't there? Don't you think these women would have gone to the cops and said, that guy there and that guy there punched my friend. We had to punch them back. Here I have... here's a few of his teeth I'm keeping as a memento. I don't know. All right, we'll be coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So that was all the excitement there in Orlando today. Searching for good prices on airfare. We'll see some tips on the best times to find deals coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Tomorrow night we are on the air. When I say tomorrow night, tonight on the air on KFI AM 640 in Los Angeles. You can watch the video cast here at Phil TV in HD, philhenryshow.com.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now we're going to tell you, and this is going to be something that I am going to take advantage of. Where is it, bud?
It's looking out. I'll find it. Here it is right here. Searching for airfares. That's pretty good.
Thank you very much, bud. You ought to do a Clark Howard kind of thing, man.
Yeah, I'll tell you. That'd be great.
Me?
Yeah. You know, we could do great airfare. You know, Clark Howard, you know, I used to work with Clark in Atlanta. Very popular, very good, nice man. And he, the biggest thing that he did was airfares for the week on Friday. And you could do that for us.
Yeah, I'm Bud Dickman. Here's an airfare on a JetBlue.
Perfect.
You kidding?
I wouldn't do it. That sounds retarded.
All right, watch that retarded word, okay? Searching for airfares doesn't have to be a gamble. Searching for airfares often seems to be a game passengers are set to lose. Price change from day to day, even minute to minute. Scouring multiple websites for the best deal can be overwhelming. After you book, there's no guarantee you get the best price. You just don't know when to pull the trigger. It's not the bullying anything else. It's not like buying... What did I say, bullying? It's not like buying anything else I can think of, said George Hobica, who's the founder of AirWatch, AirWatchdog.com.
Harriet Levy paid $179 for a recent round-trip flight on American Airlines between New York and Fort Lauderdale. Sitting just one row behind her, Shirley Harrison, $215. A few rows back, Ellis and Diane Traub, $317. They released 12 fares on the flight, ranging from $169 to $360. There's no rhyme or reason to it, said Harrison. Fares can fluctuate significantly in just a few hours. One Delta flight from New York to Los Angeles jumped from $755 to $1,143 from a Friday to a Saturday in late April, then fell to $718 on a Sunday. The flight was one of a dozen the Associated Press tracked over 3 months for a July 16th to 22nd vacation. The number one finding, avoid booking tickets on weekends. It's the most expensive time to buy.
Yeah, you're going to buy a ticket today.
That's right. That's right. There's no way to guarantee the best fare, but before booking, travelers should heed this additional advice. Go ahead, bud.
You want me to do it?
Go ahead.
Book on Tuesday, Wednesday.
Great. Page two.
Right here. Get it out of my face, man. God.
Book on here. Book on Tuesday.
I'll do it. God.
What's the matter, man?
Well, I gotta get it in the right order.
Get it in the right order. You're shoving it up my nose. Book on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. That's when airlines most often offer sales. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Now, I'm leaving for Canada on Saturday, a week from today. And I book on Tuesday? Yeah, right.
Oh, man, you ain't even gonna find a flight, man. Face it.
Buy in advance, but not too early. The best time is 4 to 6 weeks before traveling. Oh, God. Who the hell? I don't know, man. You know, I'm sorry, but I don't plan vacations 4 to 6 weeks out. I just don't. I don't know when I'm going to take time off. I don't go anywhere all that elaborate. I mean, the last place that I went that was really big was, where the hell did we go, man? Fiji? Was that it?
Yeah, probably.
That was a long time ago, man. And that, yeah, I planned that a few months out. Fiji. I ain't planning a few months out if I'm going to San Diego or something. Anyway, book on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. That's when airlines often, most often offer sales. Buy in advance, but not too early, 4 to 6 weeks before traveling. In general, prices for any given flight are highest 8 to 10 weeks and 2 to 3 weeks in advance. All right, what about 6 days? All right, embrace social media. Not only am I embracing social media, I got my legs wrapped around it. It ain't helping me. What was the one we did see?
You have that JetBlue.
Well, that was on Facebook. All right, I'll check it out. Anyway, airlines are giving more benefits, like exclusive sales to travelers who interact with them on Twitter and Facebook. Those specials are often gone within hours. The so-called discount airlines, JetBlue, AirTran, Southwest, and Frontier, adjust their fares less frequently than other airlines, so you can feel more confident locking in a price. But their prices aren't always the lowest. Researching multiple airline fares is the only way to get a good deal. It wasn't always this complicated. Before the airlines were deregulated in 1978, airfares were approved by the government. Prices were consistent and printed in timetables. But it wasn't always this cheap either. The average round-trip ticket in 1978 cost almost $600 in today's dollars, compared with $316 today. Because air travel was something of a luxury, planes were often less than half full. Deregulation allowed... I don't know about that, man. I've been traveling by air since 1970, and I've been on plenty of full planes. I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, but you're always flying at night and everything.
What do you mean I was always flying at night?
You said every time you go back to L.A.
I was in Orlando. I started my radio career in Orlando. There was no nonstop between Orlando and Los Angeles when I came back to visit. So I always was flying through Atlanta. I always took that little hop up to Atlanta and then bang, all the way over. Now, why was I... You're right, bud. I was always arriving at night. I'm trying to think why.
Well, I mean, you're losing time.
No, you're not losing... Going from... No, you don't lose time. You gain time.
Oh.
I don't know, man. And here it is. Here's the battle hymn of the Republic, and I'm battling losing brain cells. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Dan Northcraft, and our associate producer is Chris Johnson, with help from Rick Johnson tonight. And, of course, Fred. Fred Scotty's been with us this evening. Fred is our godfather of rock and roll. The world-famous Phil Henry Show online at philhenryshow.com, at Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhenry, And, of course, Facebook, facebook.com/Phil Hendry. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. And don't forget to visit the website for the podcast and tonight's KFI videocast.
Phil Hendry.